How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
If being human isn't what gives me the duty to treat an animal properly, tell me what does.
We have this idea of what it's like to live out the American dream, and maybe that's not God's dream for humanity.
When I was out in LA and I was like kind of struggling for a bit, I went to church for a while, but there's a band there now, and you have to hold hands with people through the whole mass now. This is too much for me. I want the old way.
It's poison because it takes off the issue of whether Christianity is true or not. If it isn't true, I don't care if it works. Lots of stuff works.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
As often as we've talked about Mormonism here on Issues Etc., one thing has been quite clear, and that is the average Mormon has a hard time keeping up with what their church teaches. There is often a big gap. Of course, this is true among Christians as well. But the average Mormon may not be aware of the details or even of some major teachings that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, have promulgated in the past, especially if those teachings are no longer being promulgated or taught. And if your doctrine is changing from the top down, I imagine that makes the problem of keeping up with it all the more difficult. Welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, the 10th of March. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Bill McKeever joined us here for the first half hour. Some recent statements have been made by the officialdom of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, on the Mormon afterlife. We're going to find out what this means and whether or not these are really changes or not with Bill McKeever. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel joins us. We'll be teaching our weekly Sunday school lesson with him. Jesus is teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3, the first 21 verses. We'll be doing the same in the next half hour of Issues Etc. Join us with questions or comments for this next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He's a regular guest. Bill, welcome back.
It's good to be with you, Todd. Good to be with you.
In your long study of Latter-day Saint Mormonism, is it unusual for the officialdom, for the leadership, to change teachings, to change doctrines?
Well, it's not something that you could say that they do on a regular basis, but certainly there have been a lot of doctrinal things that have changed over the years. Probably the most prominent would be, of course, the polygamy issue. Mormon leaders were teaching up until 1890 that polygamy or plural marriage was going to be something that would have to endure because it was such a huge part of the Mormon message. Well, that, of course, had to change when the government made polygamy illegal. They couldn't continue going on that way because the federal government was actually starting to confiscate their property and was going to dissolve the Mormon church as an entity if they didn't stop. So that, of course, was a change. And then in 1978, we saw the Mormon church make another course correction when it came to giving the priesthood, which is very important for the salvation of Mormon males. They were giving this priesthood to those of African heritage. Up until 1978, if you were a member and you had what you would refer to as Negro blood, as it was called, you were not allowed to hold this priesthood. That changed in 1978, and so now all worthy male members are allowed to hold the priesthood. The funny part about all this, maybe funny isn't the right word, because it is a pretty serious thing, is that the Mormon church, especially when it came to the priesthood issue, they're now telling the members that they really don't know why blacks were not allowed to hold the priesthood. Even though up until 1978, a number of Mormon leaders were very clear as to why they could not hold the priesthood, and it had something to do with a Mormon doctrine called the preexistence, where there was a war in heaven, where Lucifer, one of God's spirit children and the spirit brother of not only Jesus, but our spirit brother as well, but Lucifer was able to convince one-third of God's spirit children to join him in a rebellion against Jesus and against Heavenly Father, and there was one-third of God's spirit children that were not as valiant as they could have been in that struggle. They would be allowed to come to Earth eventually as mortal human beings like the rest of us, but in order for us to know that they were not as valiant as they could have been, they would come to Earth with this black skin. That was the mark that Brigham Young talked about. Now, this is the way it was explained by Mormon leaders, not only in Mormon writings, but even in general conference, this is the way it was explained. But now the Mormon Church is acting as if all those explanations that have been told in the past are nothing more than theory and folklore. But yet I have talked to numerous members of the LDS Church, some old, some not so old. And it's amazing at how many of them know that story. And that is what they tell me was the reason for the ban. And now the church is saying that that's not true, and we don't know why they were banned in the first place. This is kind of how they get around it. They can't really come out and say that all their leaders were wrong, because that would show that they don't know how to really hear the voice of God like they claim they do. What they're doing now is they're actually blaming Brigham Young for that teaching. And they've, so far, as you could say, well, let me say this. In the statement, Race and the Priesthood, that came out on LDS.org last December, they are basically throwing Brigham Young under the bus, saying that it was Brigham Young that instituted the priesthood ban, and it was actually a part of, well, what else can we say? The racism that was unfortunately a part of our American culture during that time period. Of course, that does not explain why all the leaders that followed Brigham Young continued to enforce the ban that now they're saying Brigham Young put in place. It makes me think, well, maybe they weren't as spiritually astute as they should have been either. And remember, most of the leaders in the Mormon Church did enforce the priesthood ban, and many of them gave that explanation about the pre-existent war in heaven that I just gave, and they supported that as the explanation. So yes, they do change, they do, but they don't come out and say we were wrong about it. And that, I think, is the most frustrating part for me, and I think a lot of members are frustrated by that.
The latest change, so to speak, you'll have to explain it to us, has to do whether or not a faithful Mormon man has the prospect in the, for lack of a better word, Mormon afterlife, to receive a planet of his own whereupon he would act as God in some sense.
Right.
What has the church taught? What are they saying lately?
Yeah, this actually came out not too terribly long ago when the Mormon Church posted on its Mormon Newsroom website page, which is an official website of the LDS Church. They had for a while, well, it's still there, it was called Mormonism 101 FAQ. And the question was asked, do Mormons believe that they're going to get their own planet? Well, the answer to that was a definitive no. They came out recently with this new paper called Becoming Like God, in which they again tend to deny the idea that Mormons are going to get their own planet, but they worded it a little bit vague. It actually says, Latter-day Saints' doctrine of exaltation is often similarly reduced in media to a cartoonish image of people receiving their own planets. A cloud and harp are hardly a satisfying image for eternal joy, although most Christians would agree that inspired music can be a tiny foretaste of the joy of eternal salvation. Likewise, while few Latter-day Saints would identify with caricatures of having their own planet, most would agree that the awe-inspired by creation hints at our creative potential in the eternities. Now, 2 days ago, Saturday, I was talking to a young Latter-day Saint who was probably in his mid-20s. he was definitely struggling with his LDS faith, and he wanted to talk to me about some of these questions that he had. I asked him, I started off the conversation by asking him if he was familiar with these new gospel topic essays that are now on LDS.org, and he was somewhat familiar with them, although he admitted he hadn't read them all. I asked him, can I ask your opinion? What is one of the defining benefits of becoming a god in Mormonism or being exalted as it's understood? The first thing he told me was, you get your own world. I didn't solicit that to be his first answer. I was very vague in my question. Just tell me, what are the benefits? The first thing he said was, you get your own world. That would be quite the opposite of what the LDS Church is now telling the general public. But yet, when I talk to Mormons, that is what they tell me. This is what they've all learned, and why shouldn't they tell me that? This is what Mormon leaders have said. And also, Todd, this is exactly what the Mormon manuals are telling the membership right now. So when the Mormon Church comes out and tries to give the impression that if you think Mormons get planets, that's a cartoonish caricature, that's just not true. You can go on three websites. I just looked them up the other day. There's about three websites that actually cite some of the past Mormon leaders, primarily Spencer W. Kimball, who was the 12th president of the church. Kimball gave this talk about being able to create your own world and governing it over it. And that talk was repeated, at least the part about creating your own world was repeated by other leaders, one of which was even Henry Eyring, who was a member of the First Presidency right now. That quotation has been cited by a number of leaders, and it is actually on Mormon websites right now, saying that Mormons will get their own worlds. Now, they don't use the word planet. And if that's really the game, I think, that the Mormon Church is playing, a semantical game, that's really disappointing. I would expect better from them on that. But certainly most people would equate a planet with a world or an earth, and those phrases have been used by different leaders at different particular times. So for the church to now say that that's not what they believe is certainly not the truth. And even if they're going to argue about the word planet, let me read you a statement from a Mormon apostle named Orson Whitney. This is a statement that he made back in the late 19th century, but he was a Mormon apostle. It was a talk he gave called Divine Evidences of Truthfulness Discourse. He says, it, speaking of Mormonism, teaches that the worlds on high, the stars that glitter in the blue vault of heaven, are kingdoms of God, that they were once earths like this, that they have been redeemed and glorified by the same laws, the same principles that are applied to this planet, and by which it will ascend to a perfected and glorified state. It teaches, speaking of Mormonism, it teaches that these worlds are peopled with human beings, God's sons and daughters, and that every husband and father may become an Adam and every wife and mother an Eve to some future planet. Now, here's Orson Whitney using the word planet in a similar context that other Mormon leaders have used either the word world or earth. This is from the statements of their own leaders. And when you talk to the average Latter-day Saint and you just ask them what they think the benefits are of becoming exalted or becoming a god, I think you're going to find in many cases to hear the same answer that I heard from that young man just a couple days ago.
Bill McKeever is our guest, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. We're talking about some recent statements from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on the Mormon afterlife. Are we witnessing here something of a crisis in Mormon authority? We'll answer that question right after this.
check out the updated showroom at Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville. Valo's offers free in-home measurement, interior design consultation, and experienced installation. Celebrating 50 years of trusted experience, Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or valofloor.com.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Bill McKeever is our guest. We're talking about some recent changes, attempted changes in the teaching of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by Mormon leadership on the Mormon afterlife. Bill, I look at it this way. If criticism was leveled at Christians for believing in the virgin birth, there might be a few that wanted to back off, but the leadership of most Orthodox Christian churches would say, you bet we believe in the virgin birth. Let us explain it to you and its place in Christ's life and his redemption of all mankind. What's going on in Mormonism today where even the leadership, the official voices, are willing to kind of blatantly contradict past leaders, apostles, prophets, and Mormon manuals currently in use by the Mormon faithful on these subjects?
I tell you, Todd, that is an excellent question, and I really don't know what the definitive answer is to that question. It just seems so odd to me that we have right now leaders in the Mormon Church who have actually taught, for instance, this idea of creating their own world and ruling over them. They've taught these things. So now to come out with a statement that acts as if that's not being taught in the Mormon Church, it just amazes me. Let me give you an example. I was mentioning before the break about Spencer Kimball's comment about creating worlds. L. Tom Perry, who is a current serving Mormon apostle, this is what he said, or this is an article that he cites Spencer Kimball that was in the Ensign magazine just as recently as August 2011, page 51. It was an article called The Tradition of a Balanced Righteous Life. This is what he says in there. He says, Peter and John had little secular learning, being termed ignorant, but they knew the vital things of life, that God lives and that the crucified, resurrected Lord is the Son of God. They knew the path to eternal life. This they learned in a few decades of their mortal life. Their righteous lives opened the door to godhood for them and creation of worlds with eternal increase. That's L. Tom Perry quoting Spencer Kimball. Now, what do these words mean, eternal increase? In Mormonism, Joseph Smith taught a doctrine that if a Mormon is good enough to become a god, to receive exaltation, that they would also have the ability to procreate throughout eternity. This is called eternal increase. Where would these offspring live? It was taught by Mormon leaders that they would live on the very world that they would organize and rule over, just the same as the Mormon God Elohim made this world and rules over it. In other words, they would be repeating a process that Mormons understood that has been going on since eternity past. They're merely repeating the process. The God they worship now is not the first God. He's the offspring of another God that preceded him, who in turn is a God who was once a human and offspring of another God that preceded him. How far back this genealogy of gods goes, no Mormon really even knows, but there is no prior cause in the context of Mormonism. They don't have a real prior cause. It makes no logical sense whatsoever. But what's mind-boggling to me, Todd, is when you have living leaders right now who have taught this, and now they are supporting essays being posted on the official LDS.org website that refute the very things they taught. Now, what's fascinating about these new essays is they're all anonymous. There's no names on them. There's no author attribution to these. We don't know who they are, but I can tell you this by reading them. They don't seem to have been written by the general authorities in the Mormon Church. It sounds like they grabbed somebody from BYU and told them to put together some kind of paper, and they were going to post it up there. And it becomes very confusing to not only those of us outside of the Mormon Church, but even confusing to those that are within the Mormon Church, because this is not what most Mormons that I've talked to, this is not what they understand Mormonism to be. And so I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm sure it's going to cause a lot of confusion. We already know that it is. There was a high counselor in Wellington, New Zealand, that posted an article where he was expressing his confusion over these essays, wondering, have I been teaching things that are false? Have I not been paying attention? Why is it now he's reading that the church is disavowing the very things he was told to teach in the first place? So there's a lot of confusion going on in the Mormon Church right now. I just wish they would be honest. If they want to make a course correction, that's up to them. But at least be honest about it. Admit you were wrong and repent for telling your people something that was inaccurate. But the Mormon leadership doesn't see really any real need to repent. They want their people to repent, but the leadership seems to never do that.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. You'll find a link to Mormonism Research Ministry at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill, thanks for being our guest.
Great being with you, Todd. Have a great day.